They say couples who play together stay together. But what if the game is betrayal? What if the thrill of pretending to cheat spirals into something horrifyingly real? Ethan and Sienna Collins were the couple everyone envied. Glamorous, open-minded, and fiercely in love. To keep things fresh after 8 years of marriage, they tried something unconventional. A role play, where one of them would fake an affair, while the other watched, guessed, or even got jealous. It was supposed to be make-believe. It was supposed to strengthen their trust. Until Sienna crossed a line, Ethan didn't even know existed. She started sleeping with real men, strangers in hotels, co-workers behind office doors, then insisted it was all still part of the kink. Every confrontation became a manipulation, every tear, a tactic. And the worst part, Ethan couldn't tell if he was being betrayed or brainwashed, because when fantasy and reality blur, how do you even know what betrayal feels like anymore? So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The safe word was forever. Ethan Collins still remembers the moment they first said it. Let's pretend we're cheating. It was late. They were in bed, Sienna straddling him with that familiar teasing look in her eyes, the one that always promised a night worth remembering. They'd just come back from a friend's wedding, both buzzed on champagne and too much nostalgia. Ethan was half asleep, drunk on her skin and the illusion of security. Sienna whispered, "What if I had someone else? Would you fight for me? Would you win me back?" He laughed at first. "You're trouble." "I'm serious," she said, biting her lip. "Let's play." It started innocent, harmless. A flirtatious text from an anonymous number she'd pretend was a lover. A lipstick-stained shirt Ethan left on the bed to rile her up. It was a fantasy loop, intimate, chaotic, but ultimately safe. Because they agreed on one thing, none of it was real. They even had a safe word, forever. If either of them felt uncomfortable, they'd say it, and the role play would stop. No judgment, no pushback, just trust. For months. It was electric. They had the best sex of their lives. Every fight turned into foreplay. Every suspicion was fuel for passion. But like any drug, the high demanded more. And Sienna wanted more. She started going out alone. Girls' nights turned into weekends away. Ethan didn't question it at first. He believed in their game. He believed in her. That was the rule, right? Trust the process. Play the part. Then one night, she didn't come home. It was a Saturday. She had told him she'd be back by midnight. By 3 a.m., her phone was off. By 5, Ethan was pacing the living room, checking every news app, wondering if he should call hospitals. She stumbled in at 7:12 a.m., smeared makeup, no shoes, hair tangled like a war had been fought. "Rough night?" he asked, trying to keep it light. She kissed him on the cheek, dropped her purse and said, "Still playing the game, baby." He froze. "No safe word," she added. "So we're good." That was the first time he felt it. Not jealousy. Fear. Things got worse. Sienna would disappear during lunch breaks. She changed her phone password. Her texts were filled with emojis Ethan didn't understand. Code names he couldn't trace. When he finally confronted her, desperate, trembling, she looked at him like he was the one losing grip. "This is what you wanted," she said. "You said you loved the danger." "I didn't say I wanted reality," Ethan snapped. She smiled. "But real is sexier." He didn't say the safe word. He didn't want to give her that satisfaction. So he played along, until he couldn't anymore. One day, he followed her. He skipped work, tailed her Uber, heart hammering like a war drum. She went to a sleek downtown hotel, the Sinclair. She didn't look over her shoulder. She wasn't hiding. In fact, it almost looked like she wanted to be caught. From a distance, Ethan watched her enter room 802. The man who met her there was tall, younger, and clearly familiar with her body. Ethan stayed frozen in the hallway, hand clenched around his phone, breathing through betrayal. Then his phone buzzed. A text. From Sienna. "You watching? Good boy." Ethan confronted her that night, not with screams, with silence.
She poured herself wine, lit a candle, and said, "That was hot." He didn't speak. She walked over, sat on his lap, and whispered,
"You like being the cuckold, don't you? You always flinch when I flirt with other men. That tension, it turns you on. Admit it." He shook his head. "This isn't a game anymore." She tilted her head. "Of course it is. You just lost control of the script." He finally said the safe word. "Forever." She laughed in his face. "There's no safe word anymore." The manipulation turned surgical. Sienna redefined every boundary they'd ever agreed on. She gaslit him into believing he started it, that he wanted this chaos. She showed him screenshots of their old texts. "Tell me how you'd feel if I moaned another man's name." Like they were binding contracts. He started to question his own memory. His own desire. Was this his fault? Did he unleash a monster? She'd leave hickeys in visible places and act offended when he asked about them. "You're jealous? I thought that was your kink." "You're paranoid. I'm just living my life. God, stop policing me. I'm not your property." Each time he confronted her, she twisted it into a game of shame and confusion. He stopped recognizing himself in the mirror. One night, he finally cracked. He installed a camera in the bedroom. Not to catch her. Just to see what was real. 3 nights later, while pretending to be asleep, he watched her bring someone into their home. Into their bed. The man didn't hide. Neither did she. Ethan heard her moan things he never got to hear anymore. Then the camera caught her doing something Ethan would never forget. She turned to the lens and winked. The next morning, Ethan packed a bag. Sienna sat on the edge of the bed, looking unbothered. "You're really going to leave over a kink?" He stared at her. "This isn't kink. This is cruelty." "Oh, baby," she said, standing. "You always said pain was part of the pleasure." He walked out the door, but not before turning back. "I'm done playing." She smiled one last time. "You'll come back. You always do. You love the game." He didn't answer, because for the first time in their twisted love story, he wasn't sure if she was wrong. Chapter 2. The Final Fantasy. The apartment was quieter without her, but not quieter in the way Ethan hoped. It was haunted silence. Every empty drawer, every scent on the pillowcase, was like a whisper from a life he could no longer believe in. It had been 2 weeks since he walked out. 2 weeks of no calls. No texts. Just the echo of a marriage that had mutated into something predatory. Still, Sienna lingered in his head. She didn't chase him. That should have been a relief. Instead, it felt like she'd already won, that his leaving was her move, part of her game. She was never going to say the safe word, because to her, the lack of limits was the point. Ethan moved into a short-term rental across town, a dull beige apartment with nothing but a mattress, a table, and guilt. He didn't bring any photos. He didn't unpack. He lived like a man waiting for something, anything, to make him feel like himself again. Then one night, the text came. "Still playing? Because I have one last fantasy. And this one's for you." Attached was a photo. Sienna, in their old bedroom, wearing a black lace blindfold. Hands tied to the headboard. "I'll be waiting at midnight. Just you and me. No watchers. No strangers. Just us. You decide if the game ends." Ethan stared at the screen for over an hour before responding. "I'm coming." 12:04 a.m. The house was too clean, as if it had been staged. Candles lined the hallway like a ritual. The bedroom door was cracked, moaning on its hinges like an invitation. He stepped in. She was on the bed, blindfolded, wrists bound, wearing the same perfume she wore on their wedding night. Vanilla and threat. "I knew you'd come," she purred. "You always need closure." Ethan closed the door behind him, locked it. "You said this one's for me," he said, approaching the bed. "What does that mean?" Sienna tilted her head, her voice soft. "I want to give you the ending you deserve." "An apology?" She laughed, light like champagne fizz. "No, a memory." She spread her legs, but Ethan didn't move. Instead, he reached into his coat and pulled out his phone,
pressed record. I want to talk first. That made her pause. What's this? A monologue? No, he said. It's documentation. She stiffened. Of what? Consent. Reality. The moment you finally admit it wasn't a game. She went quiet. A long, eerie pause filled the air like static. I never lied to you, she said. You made me doubt my own memories. I gave you what you wanted. You weaponized my desire. Sienna smiled under the blindfold. And what are you doing now? He stared, taking back the story. The conversation turned cold. Sienna's seductive posturing faltered. She tugged her wrists. Untie me. Not yet. She stilled. You're not a dom. This isn't you. You don't know me anymore. I made you. No, he said, voice flat. You erased me. Then he lifted the blindfold and saw it. She was wearing makeup, but not just any makeup. Bruises, painted bruises, carefully blended to look like she'd been beaten. Her mascara had been smeared to suggest crying. What the hell is this? He whispered. She looked up at him, eyes glinting. Insurance. For what? She nodded toward the camera. You think you're recording your freedom? I'm recording your downfall. Ethan's stomach turned. You think I didn't plan this? She continued. If you ever tried to leave, if you ever tried to expose me, I'd be the victim, and you'd be the bitter ex with a dark obsession. She smirked. Who do you think the world will believe? He took a step back. All this time, he thought she was out of control. But no. Sienna was always in control. Even her chaos was choreography. You're sick, he said. She cocked her head. No, Ethan, I'm smarter. He walked out, heart racing, adrenaline poisoning his logic. He needed to think, to plan, to fight back. But how do you fight someone who's already rewritten the story? The setup, Ethan, went dark. No social media. No messages. He reached out to an old friend, Carla, a divorce attorney who'd once dated Sienna's brother. Discreet. Tough. She listened to everything and said only one thing. Document everything. He went back through his saved texts, emails, photos, even receipts, created a timeline of Sienna's manipulation. He cross-referenced the camera footage, screen recordings, every scrap of proof she ever gaslit him. Then he sent it all, to himself, to Carla, and to a private, encrypted server. Insurance. But even he wasn't ready for what came next. Sienna filed a restraining order, claimed he tied her up, assaulted her, recorded her without consent. She submitted her edited footage, the bruises, the trembling voice, her scripted confession. Ethan was served with a court date, a sealed complaint. She'd flipped the entire narrative, and the court system was swallowing it whole.
The trap. The night before the hearing, Ethan got a text from an unknown number, but the video attached told him everything he needed to know. It was raw footage, from a second angle, showing Sienna applying the fake bruises. Sienna, alone, rehearsing her lines. Sienna laughing at the camera. The message beneath the video read, "She did the same to me. Thought you might need this. M." Ethan didn't know who M was, but the metadata was clean, time-stamped, unedited. It blew a hole in her case wide enough to walk through. He submitted the evidence the next morning. In court, Sienna sat like a widow. Black dress, veil, pale cheeks. The prosecutor spoke of manipulative abusers, who hide behind charm. Ethan just waited. When his turn came, he showed the uncut footage. The judge's jaw clenched. The room shifted. The illusion cracked. Sienna's face didn't change. Not anger. Not regret. Just interest. Like she was watching someone else's movie, the judge dismissed the restraining order. Carla filed a counterclaim for defamation and malicious prosecution, but Ethan didn't care about revenge. He just wanted peace. The Final Fantasy 6 months later, Ethan sat alone in a quiet cafe. No texts, no threats. Just silence. Then a message popped up on his phone. From Sienna. Do you miss me? Wasn't it all kind of beautiful? He didn't respond. She was right, in a way. It was beautiful. Until it became a war. until the woman he trusted most turned his fantasies into a weapon and called it love. He blocked the number, but deep down, he knew Sienna didn't need to reach him, because she already had what she wanted. She'd become his origin story, and that's the most dangerous kind of lover, the one who doesn't just break your heart, but rewrites it.